Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Let's get the latest on the crew from insider Adam McAlvey. Brought to you by the law offices of Thomas Morola. Online at morolalaw.net or call 414-327-5800. This is the only station Brewers fans need. Sports Radio 105.7 FM, The Fan.
Chuck and Winkler served up by Perkins Restaurant and Bakeries. Talk a little Brewers, talk a little Bucks coming up. More on the Packers trades, 8:20. We'll hear more from your reaction. Adam McAlvey joins us now on the Great Midwest Bank Hotline. Adam, we are talking Packers trades with people, and then we're also having them tell us what their best Halloween costume ever was, so I'm going to ask you that right off the bat.
I don't have many good ones. I went as Def Leppard once with some guys. That was a good one.
You went as Def Leppard?
Yes, we had a one-armed drummer. That was
It's very un-PC of you these days.
Again,
is that un-PC?
Apparently.
I think so.
For really people who are really sensitive, I guess.
I think it's actually an homage to an incredibly talented drummer who was in an awesome rock band, and you would have never known that he only had one drumstick working.
And to see him in action up there, man, because I've seen Def Leppard many times, I think the guy's fantastic.
Yeah. So, yeah, that is what the point of the costume was.
Okay, well,
I don't know. That's probably my best one.
It sounds like the Brewers, on the other hand, some of these players are leaving for free agency. I was disappointed that Mike Moustakas is not coming back here. I guess I get it, but what's the reasoning behind letting Moose go to free agency?
Well, he declined. Both Soria and Moustakas declined.
Which I get it, but why aren't the Brewers interested in a long-term contract with him?
Well, I mean, they could be. This doesn't preclude them from re-signing him. It just means that Moustakas wants to try free agency again. And remember, he was, of all the guys who are out there, he was one of the players who was hurt most by last year's quiet free agent market. He expected to get a big deal, a big long-term contract at, 29 years old at the time. And he ended up getting a one-year deal with an option to come back to the Royals. That was, I think, it was $6.5 million with that, with the option and $1 million buyout. So, he's 30, and this is an opportunity for a player to cash in on a multi-year deal. And I don't know if he's going to get the kind of contract that maybe he thought he would going into last winter. But he had a pretty productive year again. He's got a great reputation in the game, and that played out with the Brewers. The Brewers loved what he did. In terms of the culture in the clubhouse, beyond the production that he gave them, so it's a chance for a guy to maybe get a multi-year deal, and those don't come around very often. And had he, had he come back for 1 year, now he's another year older when he hits free agency, and maybe that opportunity isn't there. So it still could be with the Brewers where they're at with Travis Shaw now being flexible, and you can look at him at second base or third. The Brewers can be sort of open to trade and free agent possibilities for either corner infielders or middle infielders. And it kind of opens up their options a little bit. And Moustakas would be one of those options, but I think he's probably going to want to cash in a little bit more than what the Brewers would want to invest in that spot.
Yeah, I think if you're the Brewers and you try to say, well, what's your lineup going to look like next year? I think you don't know yet with Travis Shaw at second or third, because you try to, hey, who's available? Who can we get? And then we'll put Travis wherever, because he did play a pretty good second base. And they do have options like Dubon, who's coming back, and whatever happens with Keston Hira. And then there's, of course, Jonathan Scope, who he's not as bad as he was in Milwaukee with his time here. I don't know how you bring him back at this point for $10 million.
That is a very high price to play for a guy who had one moment. I've said this a couple of times now. Thank goodness for that grand slam against Madison Bumgarner. Just for, you know, Johnny Scope's a nice guy, and he would have had to, if not for that one swing, he would have had to go into the winter feeling like, you know, really there was not much to hang his hat on in terms of what he did after that trade. That's still a really interesting question. Not surprisingly, when we met with David Stearns and Craig Counsell, they weren't tipping their hand yet. I think there's got to be some kind of internal organizational soul searching on what to do with Jonathan Scope. They gave up some prospects to get him with the idea that you'd have him for a year and a half. And he performed very poorly, and you have to kind of reexamine that. And on one hand, you have to react to what you saw with your own eyes. You know, on the other hand, you have to kind of sometimes stick with your evaluations of players. If you thought he was a good enough player to give up the guys that they gave up, including Luis Ortiz, a pitching prospect, you know, maybe you have to sort of stick with that evaluation and give him the shot to come back, to bounce back, you know, hope that a fresh start and a new season kind of gets him back to the power producer that he was for Baltimore. And if it's a total bust again next season, maybe then you dip to your internal options. You know, Mauricio Dubon is coming back from a major knee injury, an ACL injury that cost him, you know, almost the entire season. So he's going to need some time to literally get his legs back under him at the start of next year. So Scope would allow you, he would buy you that time to, you know, just maybe see if you've got anything there. And if it's a total zero again, maybe then you dip to internal options. So that's one scenario, but we won't know the outcome probably of the Scope deal until, you know, maybe about a month or so from now is when they have to make those tender, non-tender decisions.
I mean, Eric Kratz in many ways saved him at the catcher spot, but he's going to be 39 years old, and who knows if he's going to come back. And, you know, Manny Pena, I just didn't think he had a very good year. In fact, Kratz unseated him as the number one catcher. Do you think
he's a Gold Glove candidate, though? That was interesting.
Yeah, so that was kind of odd. Yeah.
Yeah.
Gold Gloves, I mean, those are always bizarre. But I would say, do you think they're going to go outside and bring in somebody else to catch here on this team?
Well, the problem with that is that it's a thin position. And, you know, it's a difficult position because there's not a lot of good players there. So if you want to go out and get somebody, the gold standard is JT Realmuto, who's Christian Yelich's best friend, you know, former roommates with the Marlins in the minor leagues all the way up to the big leagues. Yelich was there the night Realmuto met the woman who's now his wife. You know, they are as close as guys get, and Yelich loves the guy, sung his praises a bunch when we went out to Miami in the middle of the season. That's the best catcher available, and his agent is Jeff Berry, of CAA, and was on, I think it was a radio show yesterday, and said he predicts that Realmuto will be somewhere else next year. So there's, you know, sort of like Yelich in this, at this time last year, the agent is kind of trying to get things moving on a trade away from Miami for his client. He's got 2 years left. A trade would cost a lot. There's a lot of teams in the market, for catching all around baseball. Some really good teams, and so I think it's going to take a lot to get him if you're going to make a trade for him. And the question is whether the Brewers are able to pony that up. Someone, a fan yesterday said, well, it's not going to take as much as Yelich because Yelich had 5 years left when the Brewers got him and is this, you know, young player, had all this club control. Well, it might take almost that much just because of the scarcity of catching and how many other teams are involved in this player, in JT Realmuto. So I'm not saying it's going to take four premium guys like it took to get Yelich, but it would take multiple top prospects to pry that guy away. And if you don't get that guy, you know, looking at the rest of just what's out there, there's just not a lot out there. So, you know, obviously that's an area that the Brewers will look at. It just happens to be one of those areas where saying you want to upgrade is easier than actually upgrading. And look, part of this is also, what is Jacob Nottingham? Injuries last year hurt him in terms of getting a chance to really cement himself as the catcher of the future. And then when he came up here, he was kind of a backup type guy because they liked what the two more veteran players did in terms of game calling. So Nottingham didn't get much of a shot. everything we've heard is they like what he does, you know, that he's improved what he does receiving the baseball. He is probably never going to be a Gold Glove catcher, but he's a guy who can hit a little bit. And it's just a shame that he never got a chance really to show that with Colorado Springs because of injuries. And I think one of the questions in terms of what will the Brewers do is, what do they exactly think of Jacob Nottingham? What do they believe they have there? And I think that will also kind of inform how big they're willing to go in terms of going out to get somebody.
There's a lot of guys through arbitration due for raises, Corey Knebel, Travis Shaw.
A couple of them.
How much does the payroll come into factor with the Brewers and the moves they might make this offseason? Because Atanasio, he said he'll spend. And I mean, he was there in those clubhouse celebrations. He likes being in those. So you think he would want those to continue? But how much should we worry about there being maybe a hard line that the Brewers don't want to go over?
Yeah, I don't think anyone questions that when opportunities to spend are there, he has almost always said, "Let's spend." Sometimes, I think Mark has said that sometimes to, you know, kind of the long-term detriment. There's been times where he's been aggressive because he felt like they had a team to compete, and then it turned out they didn't have a team to compete, and spending hurt him a little bit on some pitching fronts, Matt Garza, for example. So he will spend, and I think you're right to point out that these arbitration guys are going to be part of the payroll picture. Assuming they pick up Jeremy Jeffress' option today, which seems like a no-brainer, I think there's 14 arbitration eligible players, and there's definitely some non-tenders in there. Steven Vogt, for example, just given his health, it doesn't mean he's in a group, but then there's guys like Travis Shaw, who's going to go from making a minimum salary to something like 10 times that, $5 million range was the one projection I saw. There's Scope, who's a $10 million player if you opt to bring him back. Jimmy Nelson is going to continue, even though he missed the season. He'll be costly. Corey Knebel is going to be costly after the way he finished the season. So there are going to be some built-in payroll raises, and I don't know exactly where that number goes. I think the history of the last, 10 years or so shows you that somewhere in that 110 neighborhood is about the edge of their comfort zone in terms of what Mark Attanasio and the business side believes can be sustained by this market. So I think that's kind of a good idea. And you know, they were, with the additions they made this season, it's tricky. How do you spread it out of the whole, like, how do you judge what their payroll was this year? What did they actually spend on players during the season? Do you look at, what do they spend on call-ups? What do they spend on medicals? All that kind of stuff. There's different ways to do the math. But I mean, they weren't that far away at the end from a payroll like that. So, I mean, I think if there's opportunity to invest, if there's an opportunity to get, say, an arm they like, they'll do it. They've done it before. But I think we're again going to be in the situation where, say, Clayton Kershaw surprises everybody and becomes a free agent today. I just don't think they're going to go sign Clayton Kershaw, if that makes sense.
We will talk to you throughout the offseason as things pop up. Adam, appreciate your time throughout the season, and we will talk soon.
All right. See you, boys.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.